This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. In his new book, Vows, Peter Manso writes about his parents' religious lives and how they affected his life. His mother, Mary, is a former nun. His father, Bill, is a priest who refused to resign when he got married. His status is now priest under penalty of censure. Peter Manso's book also reveals that both of his parents were sexually abused by their mentors in the church. Peter, I'm assuming that you knew about the sex abuse in both of your parents' lives before you started to write this book about them?
No. In fact, I thought I had enough material with just the fact that my father had been a priest and my mother was a nun. And so that's the book that I decided to write, and it was only as I learned their stories that I learned the full story. And in fact, when it first occurred to me to write about my parents, it was about 10 years ago. I was still in college, and I had to write a graduating thesis. I studied religion, so I thought, I'll tell my parents' stories. And I approached them about it, and I asked them, and at the time they said, oh, no, that doesn't sound like a good idea. And I know now it's because that was in 1996, and my mother was just beginning her court case. My father knew about it. My mother knew about it. I didn't know about it, and neither did my brother or my sister. So it was not only was it a secret in my mother's life for 40 years, it was a secret in the family for 10 years after that. It was only after I started writing the book that they decided that they would tell me, that they would share this with me.
What was your reaction?
Oh, I was surprised. I was stunned, and I was heartbroken for them. But the more I thought about it, it began to make sense. There had always been growing up some signs of depression on my mother's part, and I didn't quite understand it as a child. I don't know if a child can really understand when their parent seems that way, but I didn't understand it, and so it explained a lot to me about who my mother was and what she had been through. And also, just in terms of someone who thinks and writes about the church, having seen such pervasive abuse in so many different corners all around the country, that it had not hit home in my family would have been odd if it had not. So to learn how close my family was to it made perfect sense after learning just how widespread the problem is.
A story that your mother did not have time to tell, but I'll ask you to tell, is that the priest who sexually abused her was also responsible for a major medical issue that has changed her life physically. Would you tell what happened?
Well, I only know this from my mother. This other priest has died, and there was no talking to him to hear his side of the story. But as my mother understands it, when she was being abused by this priest when she was 16, 17 years old, and she began to speak up about it and to make noises that she was going to not stand for, was going to say something, he more and more wanted her to be on her way off to the convent. And simultaneous with that, my mother happened to come down with a toothache. And as it was then, when you would enter a religious community, they did not want you to bring your health problems in with you. So you needed to have all of that settled beforehand. One of the requirements of entering the Sisters of St. Joseph Novitiate, in fact, was a very thorough health exam. So with my mother's bad tooth, she happened to mention to this priest that she was having this problem, and it might delay her entrance into the religious community. Well, he told her to go not to her own family dentist, but to a dentist he knew, and he would take care of it for her. And this dentist, his prescription was to remove all of her top teeth. And as I understand it, she had a toothache. So it was a bit drastic, this decision. So 17 years old, my mother had all of her top teeth removed on the eve of her entrance into the convent.
What did you think of the church growing up? You know, your mother had been a nun, your father a priest.
Early on, I loved it. It was so much a part of who we were. I mean, we went to church every Sunday, but we also had church at home all the time. As I said, we grew up in this community of married priests and former nuns, and they would come over and we would have Mass. And those were our kinds of family parties. I mean, we would have Mass and then have a backyard barbecue. That's what they did for their leisure time. That's how they socialized. There was often a liturgical element to even those kinds of casual gatherings. And I loved it, and I loved church. I loved the music, and I loved the smells. And slowly, though, I started to realize that we weren't like other Catholic families. In my CCD Catholic education classes, I would learn that priests never married, for example, and if I raised my hand and tried to say that sometimes they do get married, it caused a lot of problems. I mean, as a family, we had questions that the regular churchgoers couldn't answer, and when we raised them, when we mentioned these facts about our parents' lives, we would feel that there was this wrongdoing, there was a sin in our family, and so I think as a result of that, I moved further and further away from the church.
But eventually you thought you might have a spiritual vocation, and you entered the seminary. What was the change?
Well, I didn't enter seminary, I should say. I was studying religion as an undergraduate, and I was particularly interested in medieval Catholicism and church history. And so I spent some time in a monastery, in a Trappist monastery, and was really drawn to the life, to this all-encompassing idea of a life ordered by God, ordered by ritual. But I think that as I investigated that, I ran into a lot of the same questions and issues that my father had when he was my age or a little older. It's just there is a tension between the idea, the hope of being connected, being close to God and tradition, and it keeping you from something fundamental in life, from marriage, from family, from sex. And it just ultimately, as I grew up, I grew out of my romantic feelings and saw that you, at least for now, you can't have it both ways in the Catholic Church.
You write, "For all the beauty of the Abbey and the sincere efforts of the men I had met there, it rested on divisions born of the idea that this world is nothing but a waiting room."
Yes, that's what I think is really at issue with celibacy. It's a lot more than whether or not priests can marry. It has to do fundamentally with the way the church thinks about sex, the way the church thinks about the body, the way the church thinks about women. There is nothing defensible in the church's position that women cannot be ordained as priests. It is only, as far as I'm concerned, a remnant of a medieval fear of sex, of the feminine. And until the church can come to terms with that, can ask itself hard questions about where these beliefs came from and what to do about them, I don't think that even allowing priests to marry, I don't think that will be enough.
I think, is it fair to describe you now as somebody who's interested in telling stories about faith?
Yes, I think so. I think that's really how I've come to understand belief. When I was investigating it for myself, I didn't understand it. The idea of believing was what kept me separate from the monks I met, and I admired their lives, and yet they had this thing, this belief that I couldn't really penetrate because deep down I didn't share it. And so now it's become my practice of faith to learn other people's stories of how they live their own.
Do you understand your parents' abiding faith in the Roman Catholic Church, and do they understand your approach to religion?
I think so. I think so. I've been through the process of writing the book. It's sort of come together quite a bit, and I've been surprised by the response some of my parents' friends have been sending them about the book. They think it's part of the mission. And I meant to tell my parents' story. I didn't mean to contribute to the mission so much. But I can see that it is, because sometimes just telling a true story and showing it in all its complexity can do a world of good, can show what changes need to be made.
Peter Manso, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry. It's been a pleasure.
Peter Manso is the author of the new book, Vows, the story of a priest, a nun, and their son. He's also the founding editor of the online publication about religion, killingthebuddha.com. You can read an excerpt of his book, Vows, on our website, freshair.npr.org. Coming up, Barbara Ehrenreich talks about her new book, Bait and Switch, a look at white-collar unemployment. This is Fresh Air.